This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We completed the surah of the Quran, or the main theme of the Quran, of al-ikhlas, of tawheed, the belief and the oneness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we mentioned in the hadith, mentioned that this surah ta'dilu thuluthul Quran, that this surah is equivalent to one third of the Quran. And then we mentioned that even if we take that in a literal sense, Imam Nawawi inside his explanation, Sahih Muslim, mentions that the Quran is divided into three broad categories. And amongst those three broad categories is the theme of speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. And what is the relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moving from Surah of Tawheed, speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then entering into this theme of these two surahs, surahs of refuge and protection, and seeking protection, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shanqiti inside his tafsir, Sahib Adwa al-Bayan, he mentioned that relationship that people of Tawheed, people of Islam, believers, they will be attacked. Don't think that the journey of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave a simple journey upon this life. That's what many of us Muslims that we think, that when a person submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning there's a certain element of what we may call relaxation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving the individual the ability to strengthen their iman and their yaqeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to then test the individual. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. You created a state of vanity without any purpose. Or do you perceive that you think, أَمْحَسِبْتُمْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Has not the parable come to those people that came before you, that you think you're just going to walk into paradise without any adversities, any difficulties? وَزُلْزِلُوا. And the earth was shaken underneath them, till even the messenger, those who were with him, said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When will the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيمٌ. Inside Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th chapter of the Quran, Meccan Surah, because the Meccan theme is all about struggling. Once again, Allah begins by highlighting Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people perceive, think they're going to say that we believe? وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And you're never ever going to be tested inside your lives. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah did test those people that came before, and is going to test you as well, to sift out those individuals who are the truthful individuals and those who are the liars. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Inside Surah Al-Hujurat, the Bedouins, they boasted about their faith. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. We believed. Allah says, you haven't believed. Rather said, you've only submitted. It's the beginning of your journey that you just submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief comes later on. That when tests and trials come, how do you persevere? That's why you find that pure belief leads to what? Pure reliance. That's what pure orthodox belief means. And we don't want to enter into the political world at the moment. We can see that people boast about pure belief. But where's their pure reliance? Their reliance, as you can see and visualize, isn't trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or turning and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes the world around them, the people around them, the superpowers around them, the governments around them, the people around them. They believe that this is a form of refuge, of seeking protection. The believer's protection, that's why the Quran ends with these two surahs, to highlight there's going to be difficulties and obstacles. There's going to be external attacks upon the believer. But that's what this surah, the Surah Al-Falaq, speaks about external entities that could harm the individual. Wan-Nas speaks about internal. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. Those things that internally destroy you, your lust, your desires, your ego. And what people may whisper to you, min al-jinnati wan-nas. Don't just think it's the jinn or shayateen. It's human beings as well who come and say to them, I wish well for you. I want something good for you, and they derail you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't be so full of ourselves and think, you know, these external elements, they won't affect me. These external elements even affected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even though it never overcame him. As ulama of seer and hadith, they write, there was a certain element of a distraction, whether he did something or didn't do anything. And the most solid evidence or proof that is the Quran never stopped upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It never hindered the Quran that some modernists or some orientalists start to come and say, look, if the Prophet was being affected by some affliction of magic or whatever it may be, then that means that the Quran is not really from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was only a mild form of showing his human essence. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is to show us a relevance that he's a human being. When he wept, when he cried, he bled, he got hurt, he got upset. It's all to show us human beings' empathy, human feelings. Other than that, the Prophet is a dynamic, pure individual. No one can ever be equal in any sense to his sabr, his tawakkul, his patience, his reliance, his perseverance. That will never happen, but Allah wants us to see the human nature. That's why in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah speaks that we send messengers, يَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ وَيَأْكُلُوا الطَّعَامِ. They walk in the marketplaces, the messengers, and they eat food. So we can correspond to them, we can relate to them. We can see that these are how human beings that they live. So imagine if the Prophet was afflicted with some minor element of some distraction in his life. How is it not plausible that we, an average human being, we can't be afflicted in our lives? How is it not plausible? That's what this surah speaks about sorcery, about magic, about al-hasad, about al-ayn. That these are realities inside our society that we need to understand. That they do, unfortunately, they do exist with a hikmah that belongs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. You don't attribute shar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's allowed certain things to take place. Hikmatullahi baligha. It means wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what ulama, they write that when trials and tribulations come upon the believer, if it doesn't return you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's a trial and tribulation. If it awakens you, it makes you make tawbah, makes you become stronger in your iman, your yaqeen, your certitude, and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not a trial. هَذِي ni'mah min Allah. It's a ni'mah from Allah because maybe I was in a state of ghafla, laxity, heedlessness, not really devoted so much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to awaken more and show that devotion to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not a trial or a tribulation. It's coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if those individuals who think that maybe these are external elements, they don't believe in sorcery and witchcraft and magic, just for argument's sake. But the surah, it speaks about al-ayn wal-hasad, and no religious denominations, no cultures, no people, they deny the concept of what's known as the evil eye. Or they don't deny the concept of jealousy. So the surah is covering, encompassing all forms of what humans, they go through. Obviously, they have their shirkiyat, what they believe in, that touch wood, that this doesn't happen to me, or whatever it may be, superstitious beliefs that they have. But Islam tackles these issues. Islam is telling us these are real issues, not as some modernist Muslims that believe these are figments of the mind. These are split personalities, schizophrenia. There's some damage inside a person's brain or the concept of their cells inside their brain that leads them to behave in such a manner. That might be partially true, but there's elements of hardships that do come upon human beings. There are elements of attacks that do come upon human beings. And that's why a large majority of the ulama, they go to the view that amongst the reasons sending of these two surahs in a hadith in Bukhari is regarding this Labid ibn A'sam, who tried to witchcraft the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, used, and some ulama of seerah and history, they use, they even used his own daughters to help him do that. That's why surah mentions in Naffathati, in the feminine format, that could be referring to them. Even though this surah is a Meccan surah, fi uslubihi wa fi tartibihi wa fi kalimatihi. So how did this take place inside Medina? And that's why ulama, they make this corroboration between this, that many surahs can be revealed in Makkah, or ayat can be revealed in Makkah or the Meccan period, but they can also be revealed again at another location, another time. And that's what ulama mentioned, that this time when this person was trying to harm the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so Allah reminds him, Allah reminds the Prophet ﷺ, use these two surahs to protect yourself. Imam Suyuti inside his tafsir, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ would, normally, he would seek refuge from evil. The evil of the night, he would seek refuge from it. And when these two surahs came down, he left that. He left that wording and he used these two surahs. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim, قَدْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيْكَ Something has been sent down upon me that's never been ever sent down upon me ever before. These two surahs, Al-Falaq wa Nas, Al-Mu'awwidhatan. How to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us, highlighting us that there are certain elements on the face of this earth you need to return back to me. You need to ask me. You need to beg from me. Because I am the creator. And this is all my creation. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah huwa al-khaliq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the creator. As we find a'udhu, we're seeking refuge. Some ulama say it's seeking protection, seeking comfort even. Some of them, they write linguistically. That you're turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're turning to Him, because if you're left to your own devices, وَقُلْ رَبِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّي أَنْ يَحْبُرُونَ. If I'm left to my own self, what's going to happen? The attacks and the snares of shaitan are going to come upon me. It's going to overcome me. So the believer turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the shaitan is Surah Al-A'raf. He's going to come from the right, from the left, from in front, from behind them. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Most people are going to be ungrateful. It's a promise of shaitan. He's always, always going to attack the believing individuals. And a strange thing that these ayat inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, where a person is seeking refuge, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Then Allah, then what does Allah mention? حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. You know, Quran is strange. Quran is very strange that we don't seem to see the Rabb Bayn al-Ayat. Allah is saying that you seek refuge from me. And then what? Until one of them comes to death. And he says that, oh my Lord, return me back to this dunya, because the shaitan will continuously attack you hatta al-maut, until death. That's why قَدْ نُقِلَ عَنْ إِمَامْ أَحْمَدْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. That when he's at his final stages of his life, he's still seeking refuge, and his son is asking him that, what is this that you're speaking to? Or what are these words that you're uttering? He said that the shaitan came to me and said that you've escaped me. You've escaped me. He's trying to deceive Imam Ahmad that even now you mean you've escaped me. He's saying, no, I haven't escaped you, because this is what shaitan wants, al-ghurur, deception, fill yourselves with pride, good feeling. Because shaitan is an enemy from the beginning to the end, from the beginning that we're born, even before our existence in the heavens. He asks Allah, give me respite, and I'm going to attack every single one of them on the face of this earth. Give me respite, allow me to do that. And that's why when we're born, that each one of us is pricked by the devil, by the shaitan. That's why even before inception, person makes dua ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith mentioned, a person seeks that dua, asks that dua, then that lineage is protected. Is in a state of protection. All the way throughout our lives, he will attack us. Hatta fi salatina wa fi ibadatina. Imagine, he's attacking us in our worship, in our salah, in our siyam. So imagine the everyday life then. That he comes and whispers whilst we're reading salah. Derails us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he defames us in the sense that we begin to think what is better for us to do inside our lives. How many of the shabab just worried about other things, other people, other people's lives? You know, it's such a sickening mentality that when you walk into the masjid, people are just worried about somebody else. That's all they're worried about, somebody else. Why are you not worried about your own self? Your own life is a culture that exists that we have to address. Wherever you go, it's always a culture about somebody else. Even from the beginning, we begin our salah. We're worried about the person next to us. How do they offer their salah? That's a deception of the devil as well. That you've lost focus of your own salah. You're busy. تَشْغِلْ بِسَلَاةِ الْآخَرِينَ. You're busy with the prayer of other people. That's derailing of the shaitan as well. That some of us can't seem to understand that. Or we think that we're doing certain good deeds inside our lives. But where are we from the book of Allah? Ashra sana, 20 sana, 30 sana. Where's our relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where have we lived with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what will protect the individual inside their life. That's what one of the ulama said to him, that I learned in my life that being around people leave me. People, they either leave you or they pass away. So don't hold affection for people. Hold affection for your good deeds.
Because your good deeds will be your companion inside the grave. And they won't leave you. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَبْتِ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِمْ بَرْزَخٌ حَتَّى يُبْعَثُونَ. These are empty words that when on that day you're going to say, Ya Allah, let me come back now. Shaitan would just be standing there on the side and he'll be laughing. Now it's too late for you to come back. Now you want to come back and say, now I want to do good deeds. Now, Ya Allah, I want to worship you. Now I want to remember you. You know, and most of us, we've been given a good life. Most of us, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years given of your life for ibadah. And now right at the brink of the end of your life, now you say, Ya Allah, give me a chance. Allah gave you so many chances. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim. Wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. Allah is Rahim towards the believers, gives them the opportunity. So seek qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Seek refuge bi rabbil falaq. The one who splits open the daybreak. That's what Imam Shawkani said in Tafsir, he mentions that ba'da shiddah, after hardship comes the light, becomes nur, comes the daytime. That the hardship that you face, there's going to be a cracking, a crevice, an opening. As we began with, after every hardship, there has to, innama al-usri yusra, innama al-usri yusra. After every hardship, there's going to be an opening. There's going to be, after difficult, there is going to be an alleviation. So seek that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. From the evil that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. As we mentioned, the wisdom that lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned He's created certain things for a certain purpose that we don't understand. But as we mentioned, maybe to awaken us, to protect ourselves, to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ. And from the realms of the darknesses, when the darkness, it prevails. As you said, غَاسِقٍ, ulama of tafsir said it means carries two meanings. Either it's the darkness of the night, or it's the meaning in the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, أَنَّ الْغَاسِقُ هُوَ الْقَمَرُ, that the غَاسِق is the moon. Both meanings are plausible because it's the night time that a person is seeking protection from, because at in the night, that's where evil in general takes place. It's in the evil. Look at the numerous ahadith that lock your doors, close your windows, cover your utensils, bring your children inside at the time of the evening time. After 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then it's fine if you need to go out. But that time, don't. Don't exit at that time. Because that is the time that the shayateen, they are released, that they come out into society. That's we find that in the min al-layli al-wail, that in the night is whereby there's destruction. And if you take that linguistically, when do most crimes and even haram things take place? When do they normally take place? It's in the night that you find haram takes place. So Allah is warning that in the darkness of the night, a person shouldn't be out excessively. It's not the characteristic of a believer, of a Muslim, that may be a one-off, to maybe to do something or to attend a function, that we find a culture inside our society. What they call the nightlife, even amongst Muslims as well. There's no nightlife for a Muslim. It's nothing but shar in the evening that takes place. And amongst our women folk as well, that like going out late at night, leaving their homes. It's not befitting for Muslim men or Muslim women to be conducting themselves in such a manner. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ. Then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that because in the depths of the night there's going to be people. نَفَّاثَات are those as-sahirat. Are these female, feminine sorcerers and witches who carry out witchcraft. Or other ulama say it's generic. Because a nafathat is going back to the word nufus as well. Is one interpretation. So the nafs has no real gender. It could be male or female. So Allah speaks these genders of whatever it may be. These evil entities who blow into the knots. That's it. Most of it takes place in the evening, in the night time, in the realms of darkness, that people will conceal themselves to harm other individuals. We find magic, as-sihr huwa al-kufr, is clear disbelief. اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات. Stay away from the seven destructive sins. أولا الشرك بالله. The first is shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find second is as-sihr. Ulama have discussed this hadith in great detail. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about qatlun nafs, killing a person, stealing, robbing, zina, other things? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention straight away, straight after shirk, a person who carries out magic? Because the only way to enter into the realms of what they call black magic is via shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to worship the shaitan. You have to worship the devil. You have to sell your soul to the devil to enter into the realms of this kufr and this shirk. You have to defame the Quran. You have to do all types of evil actions. Evil actions you need to do till eventually what happens? That you feel that the jinn is serving your interests. And we mentioned this surah is surah of, before that surah of Tawheed, belief. Because that's what they want. They want you to disbelieve in Allah. Because akbarul kaba'ir, the biggest sin, is shirk billah. So when a person thinks that this jinn has left me, or this magic has been taken away from me because this person done this certain action by the use of the jinn, that actually you've entered into a deeper sin. You've entered the sin of committing shirk billah. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why they leave your body as well. Because that's the ultimate sin they want you to do. So a person should be wary about their belief. Because especially in today's climate that we find, kullu man habba wa dabba, everyone is a raqi. It's a big business at the moment. Why can't you do ruqya upon your own self? Why can't you have that strong conviction within your own self? Not to say it's wrong to go to someone, but there, the Quran is teaching us. As we said, the Prophet would read these surahs. Hatta lamma marida, when he was sick, he would ask Aisha to read these surahs upon him. Blow upon him and read these surahs. As we find nafath, in the English language, there's no translation. Because it's between spittle and blowing. It's something khas. That we find that there's an element of protection for the individual. The Prophet every night would read these three surahs, Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, Wan-Nas. Blow in his hands and rub over his body. For what purpose? For what purpose is the Prophet ﷺ doing that inside his life? Because he knows the element that there's going to be elements of hardship, of attacks that are going to take place. I need to preserve and protect myself. After every single salah, read it once. After Maghrib and after Fajr, three times. Al-Ikhlas, Al-Falaq, Al-Nas. Why? So a person can protect themselves, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from these entities. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدِ وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. So maybe that these elements, as we said, some people may not believe in sorcery and witchcraft and magic, even if that's a false belief. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانُ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Read these long pages on Surah Al-Baqarah. Read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir about what these people, Harut and Marut, what they were taught, what they were allowed to do that moment in time, what people learned from them, and what they began to do. مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِ, began to separate between a man and his wife. Read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And if you want to find ajaib, strange narrations, read Imam Suyuti's Durul Manthur, of the narrations he presents about who these people were, how this magic existed, and what they began to do. It's a reality. Quran is highlighting it. So when Muslims come along and say it's a figment of the mind, we don't really believe in these things. I'm not saying give up medication or healing or discussion, whatever it may be, and carry that out inside your life. But believe also in a deeper spiritual element that we've lost. That many of us lost inside our lives. That we rely so much on medical science. We should rely on it to a certain degree. But strengthen yourself, strengthen your soul with conviction in belief with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he's huwa dhar wa nafi'. He's the one who allows harm and goodness to come upon me. So there's a reason why all this happens inside my life. A believer doesn't ask questions what the Western world asks. God, why did you do this to me? Why couldn't you find somebody else? Why am I the only one that's suffering inside my life? لا يليق بالمؤمن هذه الكلمات. It's not befitting for a believer to use such words. A believer is وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Believer is one who says, we hear and we obey. A believer is one who says, حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. A believer is one who says, sufficient is Allah who protects the individual. قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. Believer is the one who says to Allah, إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله. I complain of my sorrow and my grief to you, only to Allah. That's what a believer does. That's what a believer turns to. And inside that realm, that externally could be fitna, there could be affliction, could be hardships. But inside you find is rahmah. Inside Surah Al-Hadid, the ayah, there's mercy, there's compassion. That externally, there could be an explosion in a person's life. But inside their heart is total contentment and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those of us individuals who believe or we begin to fall into this trap that these elements, they don't exist, of harming the individual, you find, read through the signs and read through the sufferings of people, that it even blocks the person's matrimonial relationships, or for them even to have children, or suffering, even many of these ailments that people are suffering from, it could be an essence of masu shayateen, of cancer, sicknesses, of diseases that we find which are rampant inside our society. I'm not saying don't seek medical cure. No one should twist these words and say we shouldn't seek medical cure. What I'm encouraging inside our lives is a spiritual cure as well inside our lives, to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shanqidi writes pages inside his tafsir about the reality of magic, of witchcraft, sorcery. Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi, his tafsir, Juz Amma 2 volumes, spends 50 pages. 50 pages speaking about the reality, about how it takes place and the hardship and what people, what they go through. And as we mentioned, that if we don't want to follow that path, then look at the end of the surah. وَمِن شَرِ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. That jealousy. Jealousy is rife inside our society. All forms of jealousy that we find. That it, all aspects of jealousy. In al-hasad, yaqul hasanat kama taqul nar al-hatab. In a hadith of Sunan that we find that jealousy eats away your good deeds. Just like the fire burns away at wood. Burns it away, burns your good deeds away. Why did the Prophet say, in al-ayn haqq? Why do you say that the evil eye is a reality? لو سبق الشيء القدر. If anything was to proceed or to go against qadr, divine destiny, or change destiny, لسبقت العين, then the evil eye would change it. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is like Tafsir Juz Amma mentioned that عين is something that enters في ملبسك, in your clothing, or في سيارتك, inside your garments, your riding beasts, your belongings, your properties, it enters right into it. And especially if the person inside their tabi'ah, inside is an element of hatred towards a person. And they look with an evil eye, will harm the individual even more. It could even kill the person. As for harming a person, read the hadith of the individual companion. As-Suhail ibn Hanif, or Hanif ibn Suhail, if I'm not mistaken, this individual had beautiful skin. And when some of the companions saw him, when he bathed and saw his skin, they never praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He immediately fell ill, he felt sick. And the Prophet, he inquired, what happened to this individual? Who are the people that were there? And such companion was named. And he's told to perform wudu, take the remnants of the wudu, and tell this individual who's been struck by the evil eye to bathe himself, pour that water over him, then he was healed in an instant. Because this is what the evil eye does. It afflicts and harms people. If the people don't praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially we mentioned that there's people, jealousy inside our society as well, who don't like tawheed, who don't like iman, who don't like Islam. They don't like it. They don't like the symbols of Allah. They don't like, may Allah forbid, in some Muslim countries that the volume of the adhan is turned down. Because when we're doing munkarat haram, it reminds us about Allah. So turn the volume down of the adhan. I'm not speaking about non-Muslim countries. I'm speaking about Muslim countries. Muslim countries say, turn the adhan down. There should be limits. How can there be limits on the sound of the voice of the adhan? Because al-adhan, yatrudu shaytan. The adhan expels the devil. So when the voice of the adhan or the muadhin is dimmed, then you find the devil become more free inside society to encourage people towards vice and towards haram. That's why we Muslims should be aware of our society, that whether it be the munkarat that we find inside our society, which are rapidly expanding, rapidly expanding inside our society. Whether it be this environment that we live around, or even Muslim world, rapidly, Munkarat is expanding as people live a tacit, silent life. You know, what do we Muslims have with a Christmas tree in a Muslim land? What does it concern us? What interest do we have in a Muslim land? It may be in this country, they're free. Hur, hada dinuhum, baladuhum, their country, their land, do whatever they want to do. We have no niqash, we have no quarrels with them. They can do what they want to do. But why do we need it in our lands? To show what? Weakness in our aqaid, in our belief. Surah Maryam, what does Allah say? The heavens and the earth about to rip asunder. And da'u lirrahmani walada. Wama yanbaghi lirrahmani an yattakhidha walada. This is what this belief is. The belief of Christmas is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the belief. That's the core belief. Ignore the denominations don't believe in that. The core Christian belief is that Jesus is the Son of God, born according to them on the 25th of December. So what do we Muslims have to do with that? Then you speak about we're people of Tawheed, we're people of love Islam. It's a token service. It's a token service to Islam. It's a weakness of our Islam. That we should be strong, rasikh, inside our belief and our conviction, what we believe in. That we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one that protects, gives honor, gives dignity, that defames a person, that derails a person, sends a person astray. When a person has that belief, that conviction, they'll always be successful inside their life. They'll always be successful inside their life because they know that their point of return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that this concept of seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir in conclusion, he mentions that these are essences that live inside our society. But when a person is strong inside their belief, they can overcome these obstacles. They can overcome these hardships. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to understand these surahs of al-ikhlas, wal-falaq, wal-nas, to practice them inside our life, recite them inside our salah, outside of our salah, after the salah. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you read the Quran, then seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the Quran saying, when you read the Quran is pure. Why are you seeking refuge with shaitan, from shaitan? For what reason? Because he can come and annoy you even whilst reading the Quran. And some ulama, kama nukla an Imam Qurtubi, it mentions, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ بَعْدَ الْقِرَاءَةِ. When كَانَ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ دَعِيفٌ, he mentions that after you've read the Quran. Even it means that when you begin reading the Quran, some say when you, after completing the Quran, because when you finish the Quran, shaitan's going to come and derail you as well. So the meaning is plausible. That seek refuge when you begin the Quran, when you finish the Quran, that it's only upon or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I have my total reliance and He's the one that can protect me.